Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you because you prepared us for a special thing. And I thank you, Father, because you are in our midst here this day to give us a wonderful word. Father, Jesus, because we are prepared for this moment and for this time to hear from you, Spirit of God, and our hearts are transformed by the hearing of your word. And the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, because by hearing the words that you speak today, we are transformed into the reality of them, and we get the life that you want us to have, that we shall be a manifestation of your grace and of your glory on this earth, in the name of Jesus, and we shall show forth the praises of him who loved us and called us out of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now we thank you, Father, because it is you who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now we thank you, Father, because you have qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we are qualified. We are qualified. We have every qualification that it takes to be one of the people that inherit what the Lord has for us. So the inheritance is yours. You are qualified. Hallelujah. Say, I am qualified. Say, the only qualification is to be a son or a daughter of God. There is no other qualification. Hallelujah. That's what qualifies me to inherit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, I have very good news for you. Glory to God. Now, today I'm not going to scare you with end time scenarios and what. I'm going to tell you end time, but very good news. Now, are you ready for it? Glory to God. I hope you're ready for it. Because it's exciting news. Now, the last week, the past week, for like a week, I was somewhere out of this country, in Kenya, seeking the Lord. And I went to ask him about different things, and he told me different things. Praise the Lord. He gave me very good news. He gave me very good news for us. Praise the Lord. And I'm excited about it. And I said, okay, now I've had that. Now, what else? He says, that's it. So, for the whole of the 8 days, I was saying, now, okay, I've had that. Now, what more is there? And he told me, that is it. That's about it. So, don't expect anything else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, there are things which have been happening, which I didn't relate with. I was seeing them more or less as end time scenarios, and I wasn't seeing the full picture of it until I was actually seeking the Lord. Then he showed me the entirety of the picture of what's happening in the world. Some things which I have told you here about the uniqueness of how in the past 3 months, the weather has made the biggest news. Now, we know that we've seen, everything. And it's actually still making news. There is almost a different event happening every single time. Now, I didn't know what that had to do with anything and how it could even be scientifically explained. But then I realized that it could be scientifically explained. And now that's what really shocked me, because it's not just by mistake that suddenly there is the hottest, the whole of the Northern Hemisphere. That is from the equator upwards. All of them have some of the most, difficult summer, have had some of the most difficult summer that there is, that has been characterized by so many different things from at some stage at the beginning of it, around March, volcanoes, then floods, then fires, then record heat, and hundreds of people dying out of heat exhaustion. And I told you here before even how people committing suicide because of heat exhaustion
and because of the way it makes people depressed when it is so hot, especially people who are used to being in very cold temperatures. And suddenly summer is supposed to be 25, 26, 27, and now it's 41. And now, a difference in 15 degrees, some people die because, you know, especially elderly and weak people, people who have weak bodies. But then, now, how was that all involved in some of, you know, I knew it was part of the end time scenario, but there are certain things I didn't understand until now when the Lord was revealing to me that there is the bad news and there is the good news. Fortunately, the bad news is not ours. The good news is what is ours. Eh? Now you've had the bad news, now there is the good news. Then I discovered that how it is being explained, because there was a story I was reading in one of the major channels which was saying that climate change is what has caused some of these things. But then I realized that in the scripture, now the earth, the way the earth is, that the way it orbits around the sun, the earth is not a perfect sphere. You understand? It's not like a football, perfectly round. It's a bit like an egg. You see, eh? So when it orbits in a certain form. Like the way you would roll an egg, it does not go straight. It goes doing a bit like this. Okay? Now that's how it orbits. So there, if you look at, you know, the graph of the earth, it kind of does like this. A bit like this. And now that is normal. That's absolutely normal. But starting 2006, something happened which was absolutely not normal. Now, it started doing like this. Have you ever seen in movies somebody undergoing a polygraph test? Those lie detectors. Eh? The way it does when he tells a lie. Eh? And then it does. Then they ask him, is your name Joseph Kableta? Yes. Are you, you know, the watchman? Yes. Did you do this? Yes. Did you do this? Then you know, he told a lie. Eh? Now, that's a bit how, like, you know, it has been behaving. Now, I was watching a scientist talking about it, and I was so, because you're saying we're looking at the data where the sun sets. Now, initially we knew it orbits around the equator, but that has changed. All the things you learned in primary, over the sun is above the Cape of Capricorn, over in which day, so there it becomes light. You remember those things, eh? Some of you still remember them. For me, it's a lot more years than you, eh? Cape of Capricorn, Cape of what? Now, all that has changed because it no longer orbits completely around the equator. It kind of has been shifted out of position. Now, I'm telling you science. I'm not telling you Bible. I'm telling you science. And actually, I was listening to a guy who was saying we've taken the data and the way it is, like this, then like this, then it stabilizes a little the way it's supposed to be, and it goes up and down like more or less a polygraph test. The guy said, I was watching a YouTube video and he's explaining it. And he's saying it's actually, the earth is wobbling like a drunkard. You know the way a drunkard would walk, eh? Eh. Even the stagger is not direct, eh? He does not come back to the same line, eh? Because then if he does that, then you know he's not drunk, eh? You know, it reminds me of a guy whom the police stopped because he was driving, you know, in zigzag, eh? So the police stopped him. And told him, you must be drunk. Then the guy said, I'm not drunk. What makes you think I'm drunk? Then he said that, because you're driving in zigzag. Then he said, with all these potholes in Kampala, anybody who drives straight is the one who is drunk. But the guy was drunk. So the policeman laughed and left him, eh? Because at least he had humor. Eh? So the drunkard walks like, you know, then he staggers a bit here, then staggers a bit the other side. Now, that's exactly how the earth was behaving. You go and check it out on YouTube. And how this guy, now a scientist, I'm talking about NASA scientist, saying that the earth is behaving like a drunkard. Now, I found that interesting, especially his use of that phrase, because that's exactly what the Bible says in Isaiah 24. Did you know that? Let's check out that scripture. 24:19. It says, the earth is violently broken, the earth is split open, the earth is shaken exceedingly. Okay? Then it goes on to say, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Now imagine a narcissist who is not reading it from the Bible, saying the earth is behaving like a drunkard. And then actually, I was shocked at the use of words, because I know it's in the scripture. And exactly that same imagery of a drunkard. And then it says, and shall totter like a heart. A heart is like a kasisi, right? You know when it is shaken and it is, you know, its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. Now, I found this so interesting because that's exactly what started happening in 2016, and has caused all these changes of weather patterns. Now, when it starts doing things like that, then seas and oceans overflow because, you understand, eh? Because they are no longer held together by the same thing. So you have floods, then you have very difficult climate like what we have now. Now, I was reading an explanation in one of the media channels, and they were saying it is climate change which has caused the earth to wobble. But then actually, it's not that. It's the other way around. It is the earth wobbling that has caused the climate to change. So it's a case of a hen and an egg which came first. Now, but I think in this case, it is actually, because the scripture promises it very well, that there is a shaking, and that shaking has to come. And I didn't realize that certain things like earthquakes, lightning, thunder, and things like those announce changes in, and even this whole earth wobbling is prophesied and announced changes in everything. Okay? Now the scripture says in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, I think. Start from verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Now, there is a purpose of the shaking, which is brought out very well here in Haggai, and I'm going to show it to you very well in from the scripture today. Go ahead. The sea and the dry land, verse 7. And I will shake all the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all the nations. Now, the people interpreted this, put desire of all nations in capitals, implying that the desire of all nations is the Lord, but it is not. It is not the Lord. To the desire, the one thing that all the nations desire. And they shall come to the desire of all the nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what he's saying, the one thing that the whole earth desires will be in this temple. And then when the shaking happens, everything that the world desires will be in this temple. Now, what is it that the world desires? What is it that they are running after? Okay? The next verse tells us, okay? The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord. You might as well read the dollars and the water all mine, says the Lord. Now, the shaking is something that tumbles the whole system. It starts with the shaking of the actual earth, as that has been proved. But that's not all. It comes and shakes the nations, then it shakes the systems of the earth, and then it shakes everything that can be shaken. And at the end of it all, now this is what the Lord told me. I'm not telling you just theories. He said, this is what the Lord told me. At the end of it all, his people will be the ones who have all the silver and the gold. Now, that is the purpose. And now, let me tell you what more he told me. He told me it started in 2016. I'm not telling you my own things. He told me it started in 2016, but the difficult, and we've been talking about it since then. He said, and some people are saying, but you've said that, when is it actually happening? Now, he told me that for him, the turning it around to make you a billionaire, it can be an instant, just one day. It is the easiest thing for him. But he said the difficult part was to prepare us, our hearts, for that. So that, the money does not destroy you. Because, you know, some of you, the money can destroy you. And I've said that before, that there are some people who, if God gave you all that money, it would be irresponsible parenting. It would be like me giving my 12-year-old son the keys to the car. Now, I know what to expect if I did that. Amen? But a time will come when I give him the keys. Now, he has to be prepared for it. Now, he said, now here is the good news. He actually said, now most of us are ready. And he said, those who are not ready will follow those who are ready. Like there are some who are already ready. Eh? Okay, that sounds like primary school English. But there are some who are already ready. And then they will go ahead, take the first step and the second, and others will just follow them when they see it. Okay? Now, and he told me, I went there as a Bible prophecy teacher. He told me the next item on the prophetic calendar is the transfer of wealth. That's it. And he said, these things which you're seeing starting, actually, are the beginning of the shaking of the systems of the world. Now, let me tell you, there are certain things. You see, the problem is when you talk about wealth transfer, for some of you people, you don't understand that. You cannot achieve what we are talking about by the grace of God using the systems that currently are. Because the people who designed the system designed it for them to stay at the top. You understand? Now, the only way they can be tumbled is when the system is tumbled with them. Now, you are not going to go through the credit card, debit card, what, work hard and all that thing and get rich. There is no time for that. Praise the Lord. Now, thank God, you don't need to do that. Now, if somebody tells you that, you know, wealth is built over time, tell him, get lost. Because, by the way, that is true. Do you understand? That is true, but true for them, not for you. Now, the scripture says very well. Now, there are certain things. I'm telling you what the Lord told me. I'm not telling you stories. Do you understand? So now take this as not as somebody who is. Because I come here, I will tell you about the earth and how it's moving and disasters and tell you the Lord is coming. Now what I'm telling you is what the Lord told me. And now, for a whole week, 8 days I was away. All the time he was telling me, that is it, there is nothing else. So he says, just pray about it. So I prayed that all of you have your hearts prepared for it. Because I thought I would have like 5 things. He said, no, that's it. Now just go and say, that's it. Now this is very important for his purpose to be fulfilled, because he has promised it, and he has promised it for this time. And he says, yet one more time, I will shake, like one more time. Now this is the time. Okay, I'll tell you what that one more time means historically, and then I'll also tell you what it means for you right now. But let's first look at Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 2:26 actually. 2:26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This is also vanity and grasping. Now, let me tell you, you cannot gather wealth. You don't know what, you don't have what it takes. Do you understand? But God has told somebody to gather it for you. You cannot build a company, let me tell you, you cannot build a company in one day. But you can inherit it in one day. Now somebody else built it. Now for you, just inherit it. Now that is the plan of God. And that's what he told me. That's what he told me. Now, don't say that you're going, no, you don't have the time to gather. Jesus is coming soon. So now you just have to take what somebody else has gathered. And now the guy has gathered it for 7 to 8 years. And for you, you inherit it in 7 hours. Now that is the wisdom of God. Now he said that he has to confound the wisdom of the wise. Because there are people who have created systems and they have planned everything, how it is going to play out. The only thing they did not plan for is God. Now God says he has to confound the wisdom of the wise. And you know this is how it is. Paul even says in the scripture that, you know, most of you who were called were not the most intelligent people in the world. You are not the high people. You are not the nobles. But God calls the lowest people to confound the wisdom of the wise. Then he also says, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus celebrates and says, at that point, Jesus laughed and said, thank you, Father, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to the simple, to the babes. Now, then Jesus rejoiced because God has gotten the system of the world and turned it upside down. Now, let me tell you, there are certain things that have to happen. And they have to have you, you have to get you prepared and not to think of yourself like the children of Israel who God tells, go into the land. And they say, we look like grasshoppers. After everything else. Now, you have to get yourself out of that mindset where you look like grasshoppers. Now, I'm going to help you get there by the time we are through with this. And you already feel like a billionaire even before you touch a coin. Now, let me tell you, like, I was reading a vision which was had by a woman who was in 1968. She gave the vision. She was 90 years old. Now she was saying, talking about a time which is coming. Now she started by saying, a time is coming when there will be so many TV. Now that's 1968, and she was 90 in 1968. When there will be so many TV stations, like there are radios. And she said that they will be showing, you know, very obscene stuff. Basically, she didn't use the word, but she was saying they'll be showing sex. She couldn't even use that word. She said they'll be showing things which are supposed to be sacred within marriage, but they are putting them out on TV. And things which you're all familiar with. Eh? Now, all that you're very familiar with and all those things. But imagine a 90-year-old in 1968. She probably even last. Okay. Praise the Lord. I won't go there. But anyway, you get me. Eh? Now, but then she said, now a time is going to come when there will be mass immigration. And so many people from the poor countries, she said, will be coming to the Western countries. And we'll first of all let them come. And she said they will be crossing and coming to the Western countries. And they will be received well. Because those countries will be needing labor. I don't know if she said that, but she said, but then the people of our, she was from Norway, said the people from our countries will get tired of them. And then they will turn on them and become very hostile to them. Then she said, but when that happens, then something is going to happen and God is going to turn everything around. And she said, when he turns it around, and she actually mentioned it will involve some kind of, I think it will involve some kind of war. When he turns every system around, then she said, now all the people from our countries will be running to the poor countries because that's where the wealth will be. And she said, and those people from those countries will treat us badly because we also treated them badly. Now, that's an idea. Now, here is the thing that people do not understand. They had war drums. The other day, Henry Kissinger, you've heard of him. Eh? He's like the chief operator. Eh? You know, what do they call them? Racketeer. Eh? Those guys who, you know, wheeler dealers of the New World Order system. He was saying, he gave an interview. He must be like 90 or something, coming close to. He gave an interview in which he was saying that there are drums of war across Europe and America. And said anybody who has not heard them is just deaf. Then he went on to give his version of what's going to happen after the war. Now all these people agree there is something that is wrong. Do you understand? He says that the war is going to come and everything that we know, the markets and what, are all going to tumble. Do you know that this Babylonian system is coming down? And the things that we are telling you of this, the life that we live, like that's going to be the only thing. Because all that system with all the people who are in it will tumble. Now I can tell you right now, there are so many people in that Western world who are seeing that war and they are coming to invest in Africa. Do you understand? Because they see there is a bit of, now you think Africa is where there is uncertainty. No, it's actually there now. Because they know that war is not going to affect us. I told you about it. Somehow we will not be involved. But they will be. And now it will be part of judgment. And judgment has already started on certain things. Now, I was watching on the news and I was seeing the earthquake in Indonesia. You know? Did any of you see it? Yeah. 7.0 on the Richter scale. Now, and you're seeing them pulling bodies out of, you know, rubble and water. And it's very sad, you understand? But then now, that was my human emotion taking, you know, me. Then when I started praying in tongues, I realized that actually the judgment has started on some of those nations. Indonesia is the biggest Muslim country. It has the biggest population of Muslims of any country in the world. Because they are like 250, 260 million people and about 85% of them. So it has even more Muslims than these kingdoms, the Middle East, because of course of population difference. 85% of Muslims. But then that's not all. Indonesia is a country which has burnt down 1,000 churches in the last 10 years. Burning down, Islamic whatever, burning down. Then even the government passed a law that a church people can't be allowed to congregate in a Christian way unless they get a certain number of signatures for Muslims. And then the Muslims, if anybody signs it, the radicals go for the person. So you can't collect. So for us to gather here, you have to go and ask Muslims for signatures. And when they give, if anyone signs, they will come for them. So eventually nobody signs. So eventually, even by law, you cannot start your church. So the churches which were not closed were burnt. Even those who got the signatures were eventually burnt by the Narukala. 1,000 churches in 10 years. That means 100 churches every year. How many a month? You imagine if they came here and started doing that. And now that's even where there's just a 10, 8% population of Christians. But even that is too big for them. They have to burn their churches. Now, guess what? The mosque, the earthquake had its center on a mosque. And it came at 1 a.m. when they were all in the mosque praying. And almost all of them died in a mosque. Now, you can be sorrowful, but when the judgment of God comes, it comes. And God is going to judge. Okay? And there is a reason why it started in that nation. And now I know there are people who would hear, how can you say what? You're celebrating death. When the judgment of God comes, it comes. Okay? Yes, God's judgment is righteous. Even when it involves bad things, it's righteous judgment. It's the only righteous judgment. Now, some people will say that is not God. How can God what? Death and what? Let me tell you, eh? Like, unless you've not read the scriptures, where God promises that even your body will not be buried, will be eaten by dogs. So there are people, religious people, who have a righteousness which is bigger than the Bible. Now those ones will let them be, okay? But there is the God of the Bible is a God of judgment. Do you understand? And now it comes, and now the purpose of it is to turn around the whole system. Now you cannot get rich in that system. You can't. It was designed to keep the people who designed it rich. But God comes by his own thing, by his own timing, and uses natural events. Did you know he did that? Now let me show you scriptures here. That 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. Now I want you to understand, at the time that Uzziah became king of Judah, Judah was a very small and very conquered, defeated kingdom. Actually, his father, Amaziah, was paying tribute to Israel. You know, they come and conquer you, and then you have to pay tribute, so you're under them. So now, Amaziah died because he was doing evil in the sight of God, so he died. Now, for 11 years, there was actually no king in Judah. Now, the only person who could have taken over was Uzziah, and he was too young. Now, when he got to 16 years, they got him and made him king over Judah. But Judah was just a tribe and very insignificant at the time. Insignificant to Israel, which was there, bigger, of course. Insignificant to the Assyrian Empire, which was expanding at the time. So Judah was so threatened. Next to it were the cities of Tyre and Sidon, which were very powerful and on the coast and very strong. Now, I want you to know that in the scripture, there the city of Tyre and the city of Babylon are represented as the cities of the devil. In the two scriptures which talk about the fall of Lucifer, in Isaiah 14, it calls him the king of Babylon. In Ezekiel 28, he calls him the king of Tyre. You understand? Talking about the devil, the king of Tyre. Now, the actual king was there, was called the prince of Tyre. But the actual king was the devil. Now, those are the two kingdoms that represent. Now, if you read in the book of Chronicles, or even 2 Samuel, when David became king of Israel, okay? So I was telling you Tyre and Sidon were the two, Tyre and Sidon, yes, but also Babylon are the two kingdoms that represent the, okay, what was like the devil. And so that's why in one passage, the devil is called the king of Tyre. The other passage is called the king of Babylon. The scripture I'm looking for is in 1 Chronicles chapter 14. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. Go ahead. So David knew that the Lord had established him. Now you see, there are certain people who, when they come to support you, you know that God is with me. You understand? Now, this, do you know, why the king of Tyre? Because David knows. Now, there are certain people who, when they come and bow down before you, you know that you have been established. So David knew the Lord had established him as king over Israel. So his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. Now, it is not the king of any other place. The king of Tyre comes and says, I'm bringing for you cedar and what? To congratulate you. Then you saw, now God has made my enemies become my footstool. Because by the time that one king of Tyre, now the kingdoms of Tyre and Sidon are presented in the Bible, or Tyre and Babylon are presented in the Bible as you know, the kingdom that represents the devil. Now, the scripture also says that the fall of Babylon, remember that in Revelation 18, the Babylon and the system, but also talks about, before that, I read for you Isaiah, the shaking of the earth, Isaiah 24. There are so many other things it says in there about, let me read them for you before I go to, or let's first read that 2 Chronicles 26 of Uzziah. So I told you the background. 11 years no king in Judah. Uzziah is made king. Okay, go to verse 2. Then it says, he built Elath and restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. That is his father. Okay? Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. He was the longest serving king of either one of Israel or Judah. None of them reigned 52 years apart from Uzziah. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. Go ahead. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Go ahead. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, there was a prophet called Zechariah, who is not the Zechariah of the Bible, who wrote the second last book in the Bible. This is not that Zechariah. Actually, there is a gap of 250 years between those two. But this is another one who had a prophet who had understanding of visions, an old man, actually, who was from history, who was his relative, and who was one of those who installed him as king. And he taught him how to seek the Lord, and the Lord made him to prosper. Go ahead. Now he went about and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. Go ahead. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gabul and against the Maronites. Now this one sentence, you don't know what it entails. This one sentence of God helped him. Do you know how God helped him? There was an earthquake which shook the city of Tyre and Sidon and all these Philistine cities and buried them. Now, I was reading 2,800 years ago in the days of Uzziah. Actually, the Zechariah, who I told you lived 250 years later, mentioned it in his prophecy when he's talking about the end times and says there's going to be an earthquake, which is like the earthquake which was there in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Let me read for you that. 14 verse 5. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azar. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Now, this was such a big earthquake that 250 years later, they are still making reference to it. How many of you know nobody's going to be talking about this earthquake if the world existed 250 years? Eh? Like, they have moved on. But it was such a big earthquake. And actually, I was looking at these archaeologists, and they were excavating, and they said they found as many as three cities built one on the other. That the earthquake just wiped everything away. And now, you see it saying Uzziah went and built a city in the place of the Philistines. Where were the Philistines? Buried. The city of Tyre and Sidon were flooded because they are the coast. The earthquake caused a tsunami and they were wiped away. Now, it just says the Lord helped Uzziah. But now here, in this whatever, and even Isaiah speaks about it. Actually, the book of Amos talks about it as a big, big event. You go to Amos chapter 1, verse, the beginning of Amos, before we come back here. The earthquake, the words of Amos was among the shipbearers, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, not before an earthquake, before the earthquake. Now, Uzziah, or rather this Amos, had seen these visions earlier, but he just wrote them after the earthquake. And you're saying, the way I can say, in 2000, the Lord told me something. Now you're saying 2 years before the earthquake. Because the earthquake came and turned everything upside down. Now, and it shook the world and got this young boy, Uzziah, who was serving the Lord and who sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah the priest, who was his, like, guardian. Let's go back there. And turned him around. Let's read through there and see. Now that you've seen about the earthquake and how the Lord helped him, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 7. Okay. God helped him against the Philistines and the Arabians. All that place turned upside down. Now go to the next verse. Also the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. His fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt because he became exceedingly strong. Now his fame and his wealth went as far as the entrance of Egypt. Now, there is what we called prosperity before in the church. Do you understand? Where there's some guy who drives some good car and what, and you say he's prosperous. Because you put him on all committees of church building and church what? You know those things, eh? And he's the treasurer and what? But he's a treasurer, but you want him to be treasurer of his resources, not of church resources, because they are none. Do you understand? Now, but the prosperity stayed within the church. Now, there is a prosperity which comes and it goes to the entrance of Egypt, where it is not just church prosperity. Egypt knows that you're rich. Where it, do you understand? Now, this is how it is going to be, because it cannot be any other way. Because the whole system has to tumble. And now the tumbling is the getting the ones at the bottom to put them at the top. That's how he confounds the wisdom of the wise. Now, let me tell you, if God had used the church in, let's say, America, all of you would have said, yeah, we expected it to come from America. So how much glory do you give to God? You give glory to America. So now he gets the list. Eh? Now, why does it happen? Because the only way you would have explained it is God. Now, imagine you guys here, the way you are here, and now you're a billionaire in dollars. Now, the only explanation is God. And now that is, now, that's the, now, Uzziah, when he became powerful, everybody knew that God had helped him. He said God helped him against the Philistines because they knew the young Uzziah, who was 16 years old, whose father was paying tribute to Israel. Now suddenly he has become so big, he has conquered all the Philistines, all the Ammonites, all the Moabites. His fame has spread up to Egypt that they are even scared of him. Now if you read on, you know how far he spread and how big he became as a person and powerful towards the end. You know, so you also went into the temple and sinned against the Lord. But that's not what we're interested in. What I'm trying to tell you is that earthquakes have been used by God before to shake the world. Now, when you see the systems of the world shaking and weather patterns and what, you know the world is being shaken. Now, that one has been proved even by scientists. Eh? That is not me, but I've showed you it's in the Bible. And they're even using the words which are in the Bible, and they don't know the words are in the Bible because even you Christians didn't know those words were there. Did you? That the earth is going to be like a drunkard? No, okay. Very good. So what chance that some NASA scientists knew that? Very little. Now, that they even use that symbolism. Now, the earth shakes, the systems of the earth shake. Everything in it shakes. The purpose is to tumble and put those who are up and put them down, and put those who are down and put them up. And now here is the thing. The Lord told me we are now ready. He told me we have been being prepared. You see, people don't... You see, let me tell you something. Like, when they select Esther to be among the people who are going to possibilities for the queen, eh? According to history, there were like 300 virgins. So, 1 year, they are just preparing you, putting on you perfumes, what, for you to go and spend one night with the king. Eh? Imagine 1 year. Now, people of today say, well, let me just go. But you see, they had their systems. Don't underestimate the time of preparation. Now, for Esther to become a king is just like, a queen is just like this. You understand? She was meant to be that, but she has to go through the process of preparation. But the action making is just a small thing with God. The difficult thing is preparing you, that this thing comes and finds you ready. I'll give you an example. Now, what the other lady said, that when those people bring their money here, and they come to settle here, that we shall treat them badly because they also treated us badly, according to her. Now, some of you, when you see a Muzungu, your eyes are like this. And yet God is bringing them to serve you. Now, are you ready for that? Are you really ready for that? Now, do you know that is the truth? That is the purpose. Because there are certain justices that have to be completed before this earth is wound up. One of them is that we have been trampled on, and there are even theories that were made by even Christians, even top believers, Christians, top preachers who believe that the white race was born to be superior and the black race was born to be inferior. They don't know that they are superior because they embraced Christianity and righteousness exalted them. But you see, now they are there for the most part, especially Europe, they denied him. Now, and for centuries, they have been coming here for slaves, for all our resources, for what? And you know, all the wealth that sustains them comes from Africa. You know that. Now, at one of their summits, one of them said that the biggest threat to European civilization is the population of Africa. Can you imagine? So they come and say, you hear family planning, have small, and because they know if you grow big populations, then you consume the resources which are sustaining them. What is in those countries? Do they have diamonds? Do they have oil? What do they have? They just have, the ability to exploit Africans. You go to places like Belgium, they're all surviving off Congo wealth. The gold of Congo, what? Now, countries like Switzerland, they have nothing. They are producing chocolates which you eat, but all the cocoa comes from Africa. But they get rich off the chocolate. So now, that's why they had to keep us down for them to survive. And that's not a bad thing, because that's how human beings think. But now God says, justice has to be done before this world is summed up. That the people who are trampled on have to also have a period of being on top. We are not going to wait to go to heaven for there to be, you know, there will be justice here. Now I'm telling you, there are even top preachers who are totally convinced that blacks, children of harm, and I've had them on TV, top preachers whom you know, who are totally convinced. Now wait and see how God confounds the wisdom of the wise. Because people think, now the only thing that makes people superior is Jesus Christ and eternal life, which we have. Now they are being left for the most part with some kind of religion. Now true spirituality belongs here. Do you understand? Where does it belong? For them, they have remained with organized churches and what, and organized media and what. But true spirituality now is here. And now they are coming here for it. Do you understand? And you can see even in certain top preachers, who are top preachers there, and how they come here and they go to places like Nigeria and they are blown away. Now all this is, you know, praise the Lord. Now others are still there thinking, there was one top man, okay, this is interesting. I say, can you imagine this man? He was talking about a prophet who came from Africa. He said that he came from a jungle. You know, Africa, can you imagine from Africa? A jungle. But God is using a man from a jungle. Man, I looked at the man and I was like, this guy is, actually somebody is the one who told me the story. And I was like, man. But I know him. I know him. He's a powerful man of God, but he has serious racial issues. Serious racial. And so many powerful men of God, by the way, you see them there and what, but they have deep, deep, deep racial. I remember some guy told me he went to a church. Of course, I can't mention names because these are people whom you know. Now, he used to see this guy on TV talking about the grace of God and what. So, man, when he was in America, he went to the guy's church. So, when they finished preaching, he went to greet the pastor. Man, you know, first of all, you go there, the big first shock is all of them are white. You're the only black. And you know those things don't happen. There is no natural, it's not natural selection. People will go where they are welcome. So you know you're coming from here, you have no beef against white people. This is a man of God, you know. So you go there to greet him, man. Then the guy looks at you and starts running away, then what? Then the man actually runs away from you. You know the person I'm talking about. And can you imagine now somebody whom you respect and the guy, like, man, the guy looks at you like this and all of them look at you, then, like, man, they really, yeah, but okay, we don't condemn them, of course, but those are really American issues, very, very American, even this difference between Baptists and Pentecostals and all that is American things which they try to import here. For us here, we are either born again or not born again. This thing of Baptists and what, that is rubbish. By that is absolute filth of the devil. For us, you are either born again, you believe in Jesus Christ, or you're not. If you're born again, you're our brother. Now, we don't bring those American differences. Yeah, that is rubbish. That belongs to them. That is American rubbish. And there's a lot of rubbish from that country, which unfortunately had been planted on the church here as ideal. But it's rubbish. You understand? Now, for us here, we don't know those things. For us, we praise the Lord. Yeah. And we celebrate men of God and do things. Anyhow, let me go back to what, before I get, you know, and worked out about things which are not what. Anyhow, so his fame spread after the what? Now, the great earthquake, which turned things around. Now, he says in Amos that one more time. By the way, let me tell you how the Lord impressed on me, that it's going to be the people you expect the least, that he will just choose just to demonstrate the grace, just to demonstrate that he is God. Now, there are people there who are used to being superior, and they are going to know God chooses whomever he chooses. they will know that Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. You understand? Because there is no qualification. So God shows, okay, so you think you're superior because of something. Now let me show you who is superior. Then he chooses somebody whom he chooses for no other reason but the fact that he has chosen that person to put him on top. The trouble is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for it? Do you know that has already started? Now let me tell you, there are things which I am privy to. People come to me to pray for them and all that. And I know that there are people who are in takeoff stage of very big things where you will see one of us becoming something which you don't understand. And even the person with the least faith will say, no. We are not talking about somebody the other side. We are talking about somebody I know whom I saw the other day grassing. So if this person, you see, can be this, there is no reason why I cannot. Then, you know, do you know the principle of God provoking people to jealousy? Do you know that's what he says? You know he says it in the scriptures. That when the Jews rejected salvation, God gave it to the what? Why? To provoke them to jealousy. Now, there are certain people who will shoot to wealth to provoke you with all ye of little faith. To provoke you to jealousy. And you stand and say, no way. How can Richard Kajimu, whom I saw the other day, grassing, eh? How can, no, this is not possible. If he can do it, now, you so that he picks somebody from among you. And then, just to provoke others to jealousy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I promise you, I am not telling you things which the Lord did not. I am telling you this is what he told me. And he told me, for the most part, many people are ready. And those who are not ready will be provoked to jealousy until they also become ready and they also partake of this. Praise the Lord. And I was praying that nobody is left behind. And now this is the next item on the what? Let me read some more scriptures so that we understand. Isaiah 23. Okay. The burden against Tyre. The burden against what? Tyre. Now you know what Tyre represents, eh? It represents the wealth of the world, the systems of the world. That's why in Ezekiel, where the devil is called the king of Tyre, he said, you became rich through your much trade. Let's first read it. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1. So that you understand. The word of the Lord came to me again saying, son of man, said to the prince of Tyre. Now this was the actual king of Tyre, whom he was calling the prince. Now the king, the one he called the king was Lucifer. That says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I'm a god, I sit in the seat of gods, I'm in the midst of seas, yet you're a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of God, of a god. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. In other words, it is very spiritual, deeply spiritual, but demonic spirituality. Now go ahead. Verse 4. With your wisdom and with your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself. Do you understand? Now, this is talking about a king who uses demonic secret, you know, those things, occult things to develop wealth for themselves. Now, these are the people whom we are seeing right now who have developed wealth through these means. Now, and God is saying that system is going down. And gathered gold and silver into your treasury. Now, for gathering, it is for gathering. We have to gather this wealth. All of this wealth has to be gathered. And now the system to protect it. And now they put it out there and you cannot enter their system and become rich within it. You can't. But you see, they sell you deceit that you have to work hard, save what? Save this amount of money. How long are you going to... Let me give you an example. Now, just one of you tell me what your dream car is. Okay, Range Rover, let's say. Do you know a 2016 Range Rover would cost you $400 million? Right now? So on your salary, let's say $5 million. $5 million. And that's a good salary. Isn't it? How long are you going to save to get a Range Rover? On your salary of $5 million. Even if you saved all of it, how many months are those? 400 divided by 8 a month. Eh? It's going to take you 8 a month. How many years are those? Like 7 and something years. You'll get it in the tribulation. Or maybe you'll get it after the rapture. So you said, you tell Jesus when he comes, please don't take me. I'm left with 3 months to get my Range Rover. You'll take me when you come back. But do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? So there are certain things where you have no choice but to believe God. Because, okay, saving. You can't. It's not possible. Where? How much is a good house? How long would you have to save to get it? So you, it's not like I'm telling you things where you have a choice. You have none. You have to believe God. Praise the Lord. There are people who can save and buy a Range Rover. But you are not one of them. So for you, you just have to believe. Thankfully, that option is there. And then you can get it overnight. Amen? Okay, now let's go ahead. With your wisdom and others, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. Now this, by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. And your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Now this is talking about a king who had become so powerful and wealthy. By the way, this is the king whose kingdom was drowned in that, the great earthquake. The king of Tyre. So the judgment came there. Now, there are people, and I'm sure you know them, through that occult thing and what, and they recruit people, come and what, sacrifice your firstborn son and get rich. Now, God is tumbling all that system upside down. And that has been his promise. Now, let's go back to the previous verse because I have to hurry very quickly. And good news cannot be, you don't take long giving good news. It's bad news which you have to over-explain. Okay. The burden against Tyre, where are you ships of Tarshish? Now, Tyre, Tarshish. Tarshish is also, actually in the Bible, a symbol of a city of wealth and trade. You understand? When God called Jonah to go and preach in Nineveh, where did he run to? Tarshish. Why? It is the equivalent of God calling the watchman to preach in time, and he goes and says, me, I want to do business. How many times has that happened? So many times. But you've run to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh to preach the gospel. And you've had those things, you know, preachers saying, no, you know, you cannot depend on the congregation. You have to have a business at the side. Let me tell you something. You cannot serve two masters at a go. You cannot what? I'm telling you, once you get into that, and you've had people putting it out there, your pastor has got to have a job. What? Like, really? Now, you see, when you, wisdom of this world, now, when you believe in the wisdom of this world, you trust your saving thing to get you that, your dream life, where you are driving a good car, you're staying in a good house, your children are going to the best schools, God will provide it. Do you understand? And right now, do you understand? That's what he told me. Now, the other system will just cut you off and keep you relegated at the bottom. The only way you're going to get on top of some of these people who already have buildings is through this God thing. You cannot start. You don't even have a piece of land. Much less a building. And you're dealing with people who have buildings in the city. Your only hope is God. That's why you're here listening to me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no harbor from the land of Cyrus, it is revealed to them. Okay? Now, be still, you inhabitants of the coastline, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled. Now, I will not go into that. Let's go to the verse I actually wanted, because it talks about, first of all, in that thing where I told you the earth will reel to and fro, the whole chapter of Isaiah 24 is talking about judgment of the earth. But you see, it talks about something which I found interesting. Let's go to verse. Good news, I've seen the verse I wanted. Start from verse 15. Isaiah 24, verse 15. All 23 and 24 by that are talking about the same judgment of the system of earth. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning of light. Now, the dawning means morning. You understand? The dawning. That means a new day. Another day has begun. The name of the Lord God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous. Okay? But I said, I am ruined. Woe to me. Now, on the one end, people are saying glory to God. On the other end, people are saying I'm ruined. Do you know what that is talking about? Yes. Some people are ruined. Others are what? Are being lifted up. And they are praising God. Now, that's exactly what it says in Revelation 18. When it says that Babylon, the people who, you know, the merchants of Babylon are waiting because the whole system has come down. Now that is talking about, that's not talking about the end time when God, you know, it's talking about the Babylon system of finance, which is, I was seeing the other day a man saying, take all your money out of the bank, telling Americans, take your money out of the bank. I said, why is this man saying this? I went and clicked on it. And now what the guy is saying is, by law, when you put money in the bank, it belongs to the bank. Eh? So if something happens to the bank, you have no right to claim, because the money belongs to the bank according to their laws. So now you're saying they are going to mess up the whole banking system, and it will mess up everybody and bring people down. Now, is that it is going to happen? That system is coming down. The Bible has said, and now it very soon, because the shaking started with the actual earth, the sphere of the earth. You understand? Eh? Then it comes to the, you know, systems of the earth, weather systems, patterns, what. Now 4 months of on the news is weather. Then the actual financial systems. By the time the shaking has to start from there, by the time it comes down here, every order has been turned upside down. Now, am I the only one saying that? Actually, no. Let me tell you. Okay, let's just read this. One, people say glory to the righteous, but others said that I am ruined. Woe to me. Now, who are ruined? The treacherous dealers. Eh? Those ones, the ones we're talking about. Eh? The ones of Tyre and Sidon and Babylon. Do you understand? Eh? Eh? Now, who take all the wealth and they tell you you save. And also you start saving. Okay. He who seeks to save his life will lose it. Do you know that is not just about life? Believe me or not, but me, I know there is nothing I'm going to get through saving. I know it. You cannot convince me. The only path is faith. Amen? Eh. I know it. I know it. So, because 7 years just to buy a Range Rover, and that's if I'm saving all the salary. That means I'm eating Katunkuma and what? You people. Okay. Verse 17. 23. Let's go to verse 20. Isaiah 23. I'm just going to read a few more verses and then we finish. And then I'll seal up this good news. And it shall be at the end of 70 years that the Lord will deal with Tyre. Now, I want you to understand, by the way, historically, there is something about empires that caused them to come down after 70 years. Did you know that? I don't know why, but somehow it happened. And the Lord showed me that some time ago. And he told me even this Western civilization, which they are so proud of, the 70 years are coming to an end. It started in 1949 with the NATO agreement. Next year, the 70 years are coming up. And it's already being torn apart. You wait, you'll see. It is not surviving to 2019. And they are there, the Western civilization. It's going to come down. The communists, 1919 to 1989. Exactly the 70 years. When did the other guy, what's he called? John Lennon. That Bolshevik revolution. You remember it? Eh? Around there, 1919. The one which introduced communism into Russia. 1919. 1989, October. I think November 1st or something like that, the Berlin Wall comes down. 70 years. 1919 to 1989. 70 years, bam, communism dies. Then capitalism jumps up and thinks they are going to survive forever. They are not. They are started with the NATO agreement in 1949. The treaty. I don't know what it was called, Lisbon or something treaty. 1949. 70 years, 20 what? 2019. Yeah, those ones are also going to what? To find their way. Now, here it says, it shall be at the end of 70 years that the Lord will deal with Tyre. Okay? She will return to her hire. Now, that's not a rap. Tyre will return to her hire. And you say the Bible doesn't have, you know? Okay. And commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. Go ahead. Eh? Now, the fornication, of course, is the wealth gained through spiritual, you know, through the occult. Her gain and her pay will be set apart for who? It will not be treasured. nor laid up. Now remember, they say we are laying up the wealth for the bad times. Now God is saying that wealth is not going to be laid up, treasured nor laid up. For her gain will be for those who dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for fine clothing. Now, to drive a Range Rover and for put anything you want. Eh? To eat sufficiently. Do you understand? Now, he says, 7 years, you do your thing. Now, when you're finished and you think you've laid up treasure, then you realize you've laid up nothing. Because you've laid it up for the Lord, for him to just get it and give it to somebody else who pleases him. Now, let's go read one other scripture in verse 24, chapter 24 rather, which talks about, or let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse, now this thing is repeated again. Therefore, verse 25, he repeats the same thing and says one more time, God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. Now, the heavens and the earth is talking about the systems, the heavenly systems. He's talking about the actual earth, the sphere of the earth, moving out of place, like shaking like this, and causing floods and, you know, unusual weather. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Go ahead. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Okay? The heaven means the heavenlies, not heaven where God dwells. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. In other words, every system, like it indicates the removal of the systems that are there, everything that can be shaken. Why is it shaken? Because Jesus Christ is not going to come back until his church is in what? On top. He's coming back for a victorious church. Now, when we say he's coming, just prepare yourself for victory, because that is what is. He's not going to come back unless the church is on top. That is, this is Bible prophecy. Do you understand? Eh? And it has to come to pass. Okay. Now, the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, the wealth that comes to you, that when God has shaken, that one cannot be shaken. The only thing that will take you away from it is the rapture. You understand? Eh? The only thing is the rapture. Now, you see, you have been taught in a system where you have to toil. You know, toil. Toil. Now, that scripture, Proverbs 10:22, in the NIV, I like the way the NIV puts it. Eh? Because you see, you know, these preachers are preaching instead of prosperity, instead of hard work. Let them preach hard work. Start a church and preach hard work. Okay? Now, it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth and he adds no trouble to it. Bring another version. Aha. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling. You understand? Eh? So, you've been taught toil. But you see, toil is part of the curse. Adam was not made to toil. He was made to find things free, which had been put there by who? It's only when he sinned that he had to toil. Do you understand? Now, that toiling thing is actually demonic. Like that, it's toil. Now, he adds no toil to it. So, now if you believe the toiling, then you are going to toil. And there is no guarantee. Do you think you're the one who toils the most? Like, I used to, when, you know, our night prayers, I would be driving home at 5 in the morning. And you find these guys of, you know, wheelbarrows, pushing their wheelbarrows to town. Now, if toil made people rich, praise the Lord. Okay, let me read one. Let me tell you something. By the way, don't think we are not going to have anything to do. We still have some toil. Tell your neighbor, we still have some hustle. Eh? Say it again, we still have some hustle. Our hustle, now our toil, is to go and tell people Jesus is coming soon. Can you imagine? I'm toiling in tongues. Eh? Toiling in the spirit. Eh? Do you understand? Eh? Toiling, going to schools, telling them Jesus is coming. Now that is the hustle. Now if you were working, if you were spending all your days working, toiling, when would you preach the gospel? Do you really think God wants that you are so busy you can't school ministry? No. My job? What? No. What's more important to him? Now let those wicked people toil. Now you toil to preach the gospel. Man, we are in this hustle of convincing people that Jesus is coming soon. Yesterday I was hustling in a certain secondary school. And my hustle produced 100 souls. Man. Now, praise the Lord. Now that's your hustle. That's your hustle. Where you have to go and preach the gospel. You have to go and tell your workmates Jesus is coming. So now that's your hustle. Now, God facilitates your hustle by making it make them have to listen to you because you have money. There are people who will not listen to you when you're broke. Do you understand? So don't think we are saying you wake up in the morning and sleep all day. No. There is a hustle, but a different kind. A different kind of hustle. You have to hustle in tongues for like 3 hours. So I was in Nairobi hustling. But in a very nice place. So it's a good hustle. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. You go to a 5-star hotel and hustle. Man, I'm hustling in this 5-star hotel. Praise. Then when I'm tired of hustling, I go down and have a cappuccino, man, hustling. Praise the Lord. Now that is your hustle. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now you can imagine these guys give themselves, man, and then they tell you, now for you, work hard, save. What? Anyhow. Okay, now I'm finishing. Now, this system, these systems, this whole credit system, the thing that they have set up, these coins, by the way, it is going to tumble in one day. Do you know that in Revelation, the actual says, in 1 hour? Go to Revelation 18. And, okay, let's first read James chapter 5, verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. It's not talking about outreach. Your riches are corrupted. Now, you see, ours will come through the righteousness of God when we are sleeping. No, when we are hustling in, telling people about Jesus. And, man, where your hustle produces 10 people got born again. Man, I was hustling. Okay. And your garments are not moth-eaten. Okay. Your gold and your silver corroded, their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure for yourself in the last days. Now you see this whole thing where he says they will heap it up, but you let them heap it up, but it will not be for them. It will be for the Lord to give it to his people so that they dress well and they eat well. Can you imagine? Why they are hustling? Glory to God. Now these people have heaped. Now that's what they are doing. They are hiding up treasure. So and so is worth how many what? How many billion? Kakana. The only way this earth is wrapped up is when those who are God has confounded properly the wisdom of the wise. And by doing something which is inexplicable. Now, some man of God was telling me, a very powerful man of God was telling me that he had a dream. Now, he wanted to give... Now, this dream actually, by the way, really sorted me. So he wanted to give a seed to a certain powerful preacher in America. Now, all these people, if I mentioned them, you'd know them. Okay? So he was thinking of giving a seed to a powerful man in America. Then, the morning when he was about to send the money, and I'm talking about a lot of money, really, he had a dream. And in the dream, he was staying. Now, this Ugandan powerful man of God was saying that he was in a golden house, very wonderful, where everything is man-made, everything is made of God, absolute splendor. So he comes out of his house, comes out of his bedroom, and he's seeing, you know how dreams can be dramatized. So everything is like so, you understand? Then he walks down from it, then he starts walking with his money. The seed he was planning to give. Then now he's walking. Then the next thing is walks out of his house and goes. Then he walks into a slum. Then now he's walking into slums. Then he's going. The slum is becoming worse. Then he's now even jumping some, those bad things and jumping. So now they are Miala. Now he's jumping the Miala, doing what? Then going. Then he's with his money, with his lot of money. Then now he goes down to the worst of the slums. Now he reaches a Kadoa of a. You know those worst, those terrible, terrible slums? I don't even think they are in Uganda. Okay, maybe they are. But you know where there's just enough room for you to do what? To put your body, like, if you even stretch in the morning, you kick the door open. Like, if you know those things you should do in the morning, the next thing you know, the door is open and you're staring in the moada. Okay, now, so he reached like a house like that. Eh? Now, when he knocked, now this powerful man of God for America was lying down on the ground in that Muzigwe and opened the door like and looked up at him and said, man, you've come to help me with some money, man. Can you imagine? Now, if I told you the man, you'd be shocked because he's known to be rich. But now what the Lord was demonstrating, that the wealth is actually here. Now, you see, people don't realize that. People have not yet realized that. You see, Claire, Richard's wife, dreamt when a certain powerful American man of God was bringing for me a prophetic offering. Now, that means something in the spirit. But you see, I won't tell you who it is because you'll get angry. Because some of you still think, you know, those things. Eh? Where some guy comes from America and they tell you close your fellowship. Because, no. The only person for whom I can close my fellowship is Prophet Elvis. There is nobody who is going to come from America and there is no watchman. It's not going to happen. But if honor happens to fall on Friday, no fellowship. There's only one person in the whole wide world. One person. One. One person. Now, if you think that what? Those things that... So now they say, close. They told Ruego, not me. Eh? That what? Close your fellowship. That how? No. That's in the natural. Because those people are still thinking there. In the spirit, people are giving me a prophetic offering. Actually, the same person for whom they are telling us to close the fellowship. Isn't it? Yes. So, now, things have changed. Already in the spirit, they are changing. But you see, people haven't realized. But the Lord told me now, you're ready. I don't see it, but that's what he said. That's what he said. I'm telling you the truth. That's what he said. That now most people are ready. Amen? The shaking started 2 years ago. And now it's just reaching you. But for other people, it shakes in earthquakes. For you, it shakes in earthquakes of dying. Because it is God who designed it like that. And I'm not trying to excite anybody. I'm a Bible prophecy teacher. And the next event, you know, in the program, eh? After the groom's speech, then the word speech, eh? There is a program. The next event is wealth transfer. That's what the Lord told me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he showed me so many other scriptures, which by the way, I can't go through them because, of course, we don't have that time. But he showed me all these things. They were, from the beginning, it has been kusenge. When he says one more time, here, there are six times the earth has been shaken, and every time it was shaken, there was a new order that emerged. Six times before. Now he's saying one more time. The last one. Amen? That is going to change the systems. Now, and people are going to be shocked, even men of God. They are going to be shocked. They are going to be shocked. Especially those men of God who think that their skin color represents superiority. That was only the case because they had managed to convince us that we are inferior. But now God has lifted us up. You know, like the children of Israel who come from Egypt, slavery, and God tells them, I bore you on my wings. You understand? Do you know there are powerful men of God who actually had whole doctrines of why blacks are poor, and they apparently it's in the Bible? And they fail to realize that in Christ we are one. Like, there's how can even anybody, like, you know, that is, for anybody to think that, that is antichrist. Because Christ makes us one. There is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no what. Now, that person who is saying that they are superior to us because of their skin color, he would be offended if Jews said that they are superior to him. But at least Jews have a real legitimate, if anybody has a legitimate reason, it would be them. Was Jesus a Muzungu? He was a Jew. But you see some people, because, do you understand? Eh? If anybody would even have any slight legitimate reason for believing, it would be a Jew. But see, the Bible says there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no what? Yeah, but some people don't believe that because they want to assuage their egos and make themselves think that they are superior until God turns the system upside down. Now, are we going to be like the children of Israel who say we are like grasshoppers? When somebody brings money here, let me tell you, there are people, it has happened before, where the climate is, people bring money to invest, Yeah, and there is a law which says you have to have a local shareholding, which is, eh? So somebody just comes to Abraham and says, we are giving you 51% in this $10 billion investment because you have a Ugandan passport. But I wish you knew that that is the easiest part for God. The difficult part is preparing Abraham for it. So that, because you know, I've been in churches, and I know you know it. From the years we're in churches, somebody gets a job with little money and says, chipula avalokole mulo, panak. He says, avalokole bantama. Like, and the guy just has like a small job. Like, just little money has made him completely become berserk. I've seen, I used to see people like that. Eh? And like, before he got the job, he was man, night prayer. Then he gets a job, buys a karaum somewhere and something. I mean, very petty things. And then the guy suddenly is behaving as if Barokore are like the biggest inconvenience. Somebody, he told him, Zomani, see what Barokore made him. See what Barokore made him. Omrokore omu omudim, Obanaga, Simani Vichi, tears the collar because of why he's a night prayer. Oba what? Baba, baba, baba. And then you look at that fool. And then, God has to prepare those hearts. Because you see, the man thinks like a grasshopper. Anybody who is going to start thinking so big because he has like a small job with a raum, eh, is a grasshopper. That's the definition of a grasshopper. Now, you know, but people are joking. Eh? Maybe they are playing games. Eh? When you're flying first class or even owning your jet, eh? And what? Eh? That will the Lord still be on the throne of your heart? That's what he has to first determine. Now, somebody told me, how do I know I'm ready? I told the person, how do you know you're ready? You know you're ready when you're hard-pressed. What comes out of you when you're hard-pressed? Do you understand? David was hard-pressed. When he goes to fight with the Philistines to go to fight Israel, they chase him out because they don't trust him. And he has lived among them. Then he goes back to his place in Ziklag. And the Amalekites have taken all his soldiers' wives and their children and all their property. And then even his own soldiers turn against him and they want to stone him. Now that is the bottom of the bottom for somebody who claims to be carrying a promise to be king. Now that's even when your people now turn against you and say, you guys, we believed you when you told us these things. Now you're fake. So what did he do? The Bible says he cried until he could cry no more. Then afterwards, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Now, like, you see God, you're squeezed to the maximum. And then at the time of being squeezed, you actually strengthen yourself in the Lord. Do you know what strengthening yourself in the Lord means? It means standing and saying, I believe that. Do you know what he actually said in actual sense? Not even. He said later in that psalm, which he wrote at that moment, he said, I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, where you say, no, I know things are hard, but I believe to see the goodness of God. Where you stand in faith. Now, some of you just go out without one meal and you start cursing God. Then you're not ready. You understand? Eh? Just one meal. Then you start saying, ah, but God, man, what? No, you see, until you learn how to justify, how do you know you're ready? What do you do what's the first thing that comes out of you if, for instance, you hammered a deal here and you got $1 million? Like you know what's in people's hearts when they are the lowest and when they are the highest. Here in the middle, everyone can say, praise the Lord, what? But if something powerful happens which is going to change your life forever, are you still going to say, praise the Lord, and put it somewhere and just go and spend the whole night thanking God? Or is it going to change your entire system? Some guy was saying, me, I can't trust remnants. The problem with remnants, they are all small-time thinkers. Now, he said that because he was going to have a deal which was going to give him like $300,000. It did not even work out. He didn't get the money. But you see, now that's already a fool. Because you deny your brothers because of little money. Do you understand? Eh? Now God looks at you and says, this one is not yet ready. Because that would be irresponsible parenting. Some of you, $1 million, you'll end up in hell. But God told me, you're ready. Eh? I don't know. I know what my opinion is, but I know exactly what the Lord told me. And His is the one that matters, eh? Amen? So say, I'm ready. Say, I am ready. Now stand up and say it like you believe it, eh? Now that is what God is saying, eh? So if He's saying it of you, you say it of yourself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now start praying in tongues like somebody who is expecting big things. Pray in tongues like you know something is happening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Because your grace qualifies us. Your grace qualifies us. Your grace qualifies us. Now thanks be to God, your scripture, the word says, thanks be to God who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. Sheke brozonto robokoro si talamazanta lebezido. Rokora si lemrezinta labashoko gobrozinta labashira. Pray in tongues, everybody, and just think about this moment. Let this sink into you, that the silver and the gold are His, and He's shaking the nations so that they come into the temple and to the people who are in there and to the people who are there for the purpose of fulfilling His covenant. Hallelujah. Reke brezente de beshiko grobo zante de besida brozita rabashera. Riko brazante de besiko grobo zere de kida brozon torbo shira brazita lava. Robo razante de besile korobozun torbo shila brazente de beshila. Roma razeka barazira koroba. Now listen to this, everybody. Now listen to this. Somebody said no toil. Now you see, to understand this, this is now the word of God for you. They take away. Eh? This is what you're taking away. Peter encounters the Messiah. And the Messiah borrows his boat to preach. Praise the Lord. And when he's through, he tells him, now cast your net. And Peter, who has been listening to all this gospel of work hard and toil, eh? Peter, who has read all the self-help books in the world, Peter, who knows 7 steps of success. Do you understand? Peter says, all the laws of, who knows all the laws of fishing, says that we have toiled all night but caught nothing. Amen? But God is demonstrating to him that there is a blessing that comes without toil. So he says, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Fish are caught at night. Fish can see a net during the day. That's why fishermen fish at night. It is not good fishing practice to cast a net in the day, because the fish will see it and dodge it. Do you understand that? So it goes against every fishing logic. But Peter has the wisdom to say, nonetheless at your word. Nonetheless at your word. Glory to God. Say, nonetheless at your word. Now, you would say, I have tried so many businesses and they failed. I have tried this and that and it has failed. I have toiled. Do you know how much I've tried to get even little success? Even the slightest success. Even the success of school fees without trouble. I have toiled all night. But the Lord is saying, now there is a new word. Praise the Lord. There is a new word. Now you are launching out from this day onward to the new word. Now have the wisdom of Peter to say, I have toiled all night and I have caught nothing. Nonetheless, at your word. Praise the Lord. Nonetheless, at your word. Sheke brazan terebeshilo korobazila barazan telebeshilo korobazida. Rika marazan toro shika brozinta labakarazi torbosho morozan telebekurazatal. Rama krasila kurrozo torboshinda ramasinta labaharasita. Somorozeke de brezinto robo krozita labasilo korobazinta labaharasinda. Rila lasiko brozan telebakurrobozon torboshila krabazan. Blessing falling here in form of a rain. And the spirit, Rishada Brazin Torbosheka, it's falling here in form of a rain. Now it changes everything about your life in the name of Jesus. Risha Karabarazan Teraba Shoko Grazin Teraba, Ribaza Terebe Siko Grobal, everything about your financial life. You sprout in the name of Jesus. You sprout in the name of Jesus. You sprout. You begin to sprout. And now nothing about you remains the same. Risake Brazan Terebe Siro Brozon Teraba Shoko Brozinta. You're confronted with a spirit of faith that transforms. That transforms your way of thinking. This spirit of faith transforms your way of thinking. And no one shall live here thinking like a grasshopper. But everyone here shall be like Joshua and Caleb, who say that these people are bread for us. Somebody will say, these people are bread for us. Somebody say, these people are bread for us. These people are bread for us. While some people are seeing giants, you're seeing bread. Hallelujah. Now from this day onwards, you live here seeing bread. While previously you saw giants, now you see bread. Because you know what the purpose of God for your life is. Hallelujah. And you know that this wealth is for the purpose of fulfilling His covenant. Pray in tongues, everybody. Pray like you actually see it. I want you to see it. I want you to envision it. I want you to live here knowing that you're different, that something has changed in your life. Rakamazante de sigle cura bocra santelebe sileku, ricaba shile la bahanda clapo crossante, rococra santelebe shila brozitelebe shika grazinta, ramara zantalaba sico grobozon torbo shileba, riala sotorobo shike grazin torbo shala mocrazan, riba sitorbo shoko grazantalaba sirob, ramazentebesha. I want you to see it, see the path to it, not just now, go home and spend time with the Lord, see it. I want you to see what the Lord is speaking to you right now. Romozete rebe zio korozante rebe shoko grobozinta. Rokoza seke rebe zonto robo shoko grazanta laba. Rikada site rebe kila borozonto robo sheke. Riko grazinte rebe korobozinte rebe shenda. Rikamarazante rebe siro borozante rebe shoko grozante. Ramarazete rebe shoro borozonto robo shika razinta. Rokorazente rebe shiko grobozinto robo shika. Rikamorozente rebe shiro zonto robo zara lakarazinto robo shalam. Rimarazanta laba sikere brezinte rebe korobosion torbosida, rokomrazante rebe siko grozanta laba shila, roborazinte rebe kurrobazinta laba shila. Hallelujah, brasila mahande. Hallelujah, glory to God. And even as the word of the Lord has been here today, in the name of Jesus, so shall it be in your life, and it shall not fail to accomplish that for which it was sent. Now, this word has been sent to accomplish something in your life, and it shall accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. It shall not fail in what it was sent for. It shall not fail. You do miracles so great.
There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. The miracle so great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great, there is no one else.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.